This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
During the Golden Age of Greece, the most powerful woman in the realm was known as the Pythia. A high priestess of the god Apollo, these women were renowned for their powers of clairvoyance. Before any major military or political decision was to be made, it was tradition that these great seeresses be consulted. The power of prophecy has fascinated humankind since time immemorial. The ability to see into the future and navigate the trials of often cruel and fickle fate. Many have claimed to have this gift, but perhaps none are as famous or well-known as a former French doctor turned fortune teller from the 16th century. Believers claim that his works, which included over 1,000 predictions, included events like the rise of Adolf Hitler, the Challenger explosion, and even the assassinations of both Kennedy brothers. This case file, the theorists talk about the two-fly French guy with the third eye, Nostradamus.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing. Case File 134, Nostradamus.
I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
The great.
Why didn't I not get
Andrew.
The fucking cloak memo?
You blew it. How are you going to not talk about a prophet and wear your prophet cloak?
I thought you were going to wear your wizard hat. Like, I thought you're just going to start wearing it.
Just keep the show rolling. Keep the show rolling. Now,
I feel like this was the first time that robe and hat would be appropriate and you didn't wear it.
Yeah, it was super big miss on Zell's part.
Yeah,
to
my
not
crystal
wear
ball's
it.
At the dry cleaner, so I couldn't bring it.
Listen, why wouldn't you send it to like... I think getting a crystal ball cleaned would be better handled at like the bowling alley.
Yeah, you'd think that, but I took it there and they said they don't specialize in crystal balls. They said you had to take it to the dry cleaner.
They wouldn't give you one of those little towels to put it in and give it a little. That's how
something
I imagine
to do with
clean.
The dry cleaning chemicals they use, something like that. I'm not really sure. Like the polish they use doesn't really give you that real clear view of the future. I don't know. Something messes with bowling ball wax. I don't know.
See, now that's very anticlimactic for me because I would have assumed that crystal balls would have been cleaned in like dragon's blood.
No.
I don't have one of the high-end ones. I don't, you know, those are like the Ferraris of balls. Like, look at me. Yeah. I'm a podcaster. Like,
yeah, Dan's crystal ball, it's so low-end that it can only predict like half hour in the future. That's all you can see.
No, it actually predicts things that already happened.
It tells you. Yeah, it just tells you history.
It's such a lag. It's such a lag.
I mean, I'm happy that I just had my wizard costume just lying in the studio here.
I mean, where else did you put it?
I imagine your crystal ball, like when it comes through and all the fog clears, it's just like a over bird eye shot of you looking at the crystal ball, but from like 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah, that's accurate.
It's just and like you look back and then look, and then you, as you look, you can see yourself look. Just one of those.
I use it less and less now that I have Skype, and it's just kind of, you know, it's almost the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, that'd be awesome if we all had those little, what were those balls called in Lord of the Rings? We all, that's how we,
tiers,
the scene stones.
Yeah, that's how we, that's how we'll record Dungeons and Dragons from now on when we're all on Skype. We'll use those. We'll have to order some.
Our Dark Lord Sauron.
I'm in for some Skype over, or some D&D over Skype here. We can do it. Quarantine D&D.
We got to do some something, man. I'm starting to get crazy. I've almost completely beat Super Mario Brothers. Completely.
That's awesome.
No, like every, no cheat. No,
there's no light feet.
No skips.
Yeah.
No level skips.
No skips. No level skips. Every level, every coin. Like I'm playing Super Mario Brothers Wii. So it's a little bit of one.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, God damn, I'm getting bored. So good thing I got you guys to chat too about some future predictions.
Future predictions.
Yes, one of the most well-known predictors, prophesiers, prognosticators.
Before
Mr. Nostradamus.
Before we start, where did everyone first hear about Nostradamus? Is it the same as me where you're like 10 years old and you're at the grocery store and like right beside the tabloid with Bat Boy, there's like one with Nostradamus is like his prediction for the world end next year, like 2001. And then like from there to like today, you still see that same headline because that's where I first heard about him.
I went through, mine was probably YouTube rabbit hole, probably like a dozen years ago. Just falling down the rabbit hole of future predictions. I'm like, who the fuck is Nostradamus?
It's such a cool name.
It's a sweet name.
I know. Nostradamus has always kind of popped up on my, well, I think that's his last name, isn't it? His like first name is like,
it's Michelle.
Neil.
Michelle or Michael.
I think
Michelle.
Neil? I thought it was Neil.
Not Neil?
I don't know. It's just in my head. I could be wrong.
I heard about him. I don't know. It's probably been one of, you know, my whole paranormal thing is more ghosts, cryptids kind of stuff. Nostradamus was kind of on the other side, the kind of like the future telling psychic power side. And it was like, I knew
arts.
Of him. The mystical arts.
Andrew,
yeah, I actually learned about Nostradamus yesterday when we decided to do this podcast.
Listen, we decided a while ago, we just fill you in the day before so we can keep you suppressed. As the dope.
Something about being essential. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you're not essential to, but we'll talk about that later. You know what? In Nostradamus' prediction, actually, he talks about the three horsemen expelling the fourth horseman because he's no longer needed. And he's so terrible at riding his horse. And the guys try to teach him how to ride the horse every fucking week. And he can't fucking ride the horse.
And you would be Gluttony, or is that what his name is?
Is that one of the four?
The four horsemen?
I think so.
Think it's about us? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been channeling a little fucking Nostradamus, though. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
I got a prediction right now.
Here we go.
All right.
I'm summoning him. I can feel it. The chubby one will soon mispronounce a word.
Listen, that could be any one of us at this point. All right.
All right. It's all skin and bones. Hey, Dan's been doing his pull-ups. I can tell. Look at those lats. Yeah. Guy's wide.
Yeah.
Sitting there.
I think that
100 pull-ups a day.
No, that's not lat. That's saggy chest dipping into his armpits. That's what you're seeing there.
It's migrating backwards.
That's droopage.
That guy could fly with those lats. Look at those things.
Got wings.
So, like, where does he originate, Dan? Where does Nostradamus originate?
Well, it comes from the...
the legend. Comes from the,
you know, France. I mean, all the cool stuff comes from France, right? They're trendsetters. So, I mean, yeah. No, that's underpants. Well, Nostradamus is the famous prophesier, soothsayer, whatever you want to call him. But before he was that, right, his predictions came later in his life. He was born in, scholars have kind of still debate on what exact day he was born, but they do know that it was either the 14th or the 21st of December in 1503 in the Saint-Rémy de Provence of France. He grew up there, and he was the son of, I believe it is a well-to-do couple of grain millers. And so his parents were originally Jewish, and then they converted to Roman Catholicism, as you do in 16th century France, I guess. That's a cool thing to do. But he studied at the University of Avignon, which he was forced to leave after a year because they had the plague. So I think a lot of people can...
I'm drawing a lot of connections.
I think a lot of people can empathize with that now. I think a lot of people can relate. He's a lot more of a relatable character now to a lot of people in this generation, university age.
Was that the bubonic plague at that time?
Yeah, it was the Black Death.
And Dan, am I not wrong, but he's the inspiration for Back to the Future 1.
What?
I think I might have heard that.
Time traveler.
I thought he wrote the first Farmer's Almanac.
What?
Oh, he did. Yes,
he wrote an almanac, but it's not the first Farmer's Almanac.
What do you mean? Everybody what else wrote is an almanac?
Everybody wrote almanacs back then. That was the sports almanac.
We're going to have a big Chinook coming in, and what do they always say? We got the El Nino. This year's the El Nino year. I don't know what it means.
It's always back El Nino or La Nina.
Almanac. Oh, man.
Same thing.
It? Yeah, what's that shit?
They're almanacs, Dan.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Right? All right, thank you. Continue.
After the plague, he worked as an apothecary before he entered the University of Montpellier. And he hoped to earn his doctorate at that university, but he was pretty much expelled immediately after they found out that he was working as an apothecary, because apparently manual labor jobs like apothecaries were frowned upon.
I'm just for our fans, you know, because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking that an apothecary is a desk. What is that, Dan? I know what it is.
Why? Who thinks an apothecary is a desk?
Or a table. I'm just saying, what is it? Explain it for people who don't know.
Apothecary is a person
who
sells...
I totally know.
Apothecary is a person who sold, like, medicines, herbs, those kinds of things in a city.
Fresh herbs and spices.
Yeah,
snake oil salesman. All right.
Yeah.
So now, is it, Dan, is this before or after? Like, is it you're saying the plague is already gone? Because wasn't he going around as somewhat of a self-proclaimed plague doctor?
This was before. So, so he got married in 1531, and then his wife died tragically 3 years after, and there was another plague outbreak. And so after that, he decided to go ahead and he went out to fight alongside other doctors against the plague, and then he remarried to Anne Ponsard, and he had 6 children with her. So he pulled out
casual 6.
And he was actually pretty, like, from what I was reading, he was actually quite ahead of his time as far as treatments go. Like, as far as he was big on drinking sterilizing water and keeping everything clean. And he was treating some of the plague patients with some type of rose extract that actually had really high doses of vitamin C.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people agree that he was good at what he did. Like, he wasn't, you know, a plague doctor. He wasn't walking around with the big old bird mask or nothing. He was using pretty much for the time. Yeah. He wasn't using, he might've been using leeches. I don't know, but most people agree
still
that
use
he
leeches?
Was relatively ahead of his time in terms of treatments for the bubonic plague. He wrote an almanac in 1550.
1550.
And he, based off of that, it was actually a relative success. And then he continued writing them for future years. And then he began working as an astrologer for various wealthy patrons, including one Catherine de' Medici of the Medici family, of the Medici's.
Oh, the Medici fortune.
How many people
fortune.
Do you think back in the day just completely made shit up and that was their profession? Professional bullshitter.
You know how many people do just that like, today?
I guess so, yeah. That's a very good point.
A lot of people.
I'm just like, you know how easy astrology would have been back then? Like, if you put on a suit and start telling me about astrology, nine times out of ten, I'll probably be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
if you could read back then, you were ahead of the curve.
I feel like those are like present day influencers, like just making up jobs to get paid and doing very well.
I mean, that was pretty much, I mean, artists were really your first influencers getting paid to do stuff. You know, you're Leonardo da Vinci's and your Michelangelo's. And
yeah, but they did stuff, like not just fucking talked into a camera. And
so when you say
you're right, they are artists. So that does take some sort of talent, whereas like influencers don't, most of them. It seems they don't really have any talent.
No.
Besides being yeah. fucking cringy. And
present company included.
But, you know, being an astrologer back then was, I think it was both a combination of just knowing, like being a student of history as well as being a student of astronomy. I think that was kind of just the big way to crack into that. That whole profession, which you, I mean, you could say it was lucrative. If you get hired by, you know, someone like the Medici's and somebody's like, yeah, tell me my fortune, and you just get it kind of right, or you're able to kind of phrase it well enough.
I also know who the Medici's are.
Yeah, the Medici's were the famous, like the famous Venetian trading powerhouse.
Come on.
Of the Medici
Come
fortune.
On,
the Medici fortune.
Try to keep up here.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought apothecary was a fucking table. My bad. I'm sorry.
I did too.
All right, so Nostradamus,
like one of the richest like Renaissance dynasties pretty much ever. I don't know. I don't know. God.
What a gig that would have been back in the day to get hired, paid in probably gold coins, just here's some coin. To go and be like, what is my future going to be like? Look at the stars and tell me my future. Because I'm like, it's not like you could get reviewed. You know what I mean? Someone's like not going on the internet. You're like, this motherfucker was wrong. 100%. None of this happened. Yeah, you can't check, right? So people just be like you could literally start your own with a couple. Like you pay a couple guys, a couple street people to kind of spread some rumors about like you telling fortunes. You could easily make a killing.
I mean, you could go around telling a few people that you walked on water.
Oh man, he's a time. Okay, he's the time traveler. That's why he's got the almanac, and that's how he knows these predictions. It's just like Back to the Future.
Do you have a wand? Is that what that
yeah,
was?
I do.
All right. So
I thought he was a wizard.
So Nostradamus, known as a prophet, what through his works he called them. Well, they're referred to now as the centuries.
Right, and which refers to the number of it.
The number of his works.
Not like the period of time, but it refers to his, what they're titled as the Les Prophéties, which were published in 1555. And these are the ones that most people base his predictions off of, or people argue, you know, his followers or, you know.
National Enquirer.
Yeah, National Enquirer gets all their information from. Yeah, you can look them up online. There's a repository of them. They have them all listed out, but it is basically 1,000. He's got 1,000, well, prophecies, I guess you'd call them.
There's 12 centuries, and most of them have 100. I call them, what's it, quatrains?
Right. So each prediction is written in a quatrain. So a quatrain is 4 line verses. And usually they can be interspaced rhyming, usually. So all of them are written in quatrains.
So now how many are there? Sorry,
there's 13 centuries, and in each century there's most of them have 100, and the last couple only have like a few, or not the not a so, 400. So like a thousand and a thousand and change pretty much he's got.
So even if this guy's right a few times, like this guy's fucking batting average is fucking horrible.
Well, maybe not. Maybe he's predicted a lot of stuff, but no one could put it together.
Listen, what's Gretzky's like shot accuracy?
Probably like 18%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's fair. Yeah.
That's some great
Michael Scott.
Great words of wisdom.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Michael Scott.
It's but honestly, like that's what I equated to. Like the guy's the best, but like, yeah, if you're just looking at that single stat, you'd be like, yeah, he sucks. But it's like, yeah, maybe we're missing out on some of the predictions. They came and passed, we just didn't decipher it.
Possible. But now there's, I mean, we're not going to, obviously not going to go through them all. So quit Google.
Or are we? What do you mean? What do you mean?
This is part one.
Did I miss the memo?
Welcome to part one of 1,000 of Nostradamus.
Okay. All right, guys, here we go. Century one, quatrain one. Tripod seated
read
at
it.
Night.
Buckle up. It's going to be a while.
Okay, number one.
I'm going to read number one. Century one, quatrain one. Tripod seated at night in secret study, only resting on the Aryan saddle. Tiny flame leaving the solitude, make prosper what is not vain to believe.
All right.
Number two.
Has that one... Hold on. Hold on.
No,
we got to analyze.
We got to spend the whole podcast talking about this one.
Okay.
Number one.
Century one, quatrain one.
Yeah. So read it one more time because I already forgot it.
Tripod seated at night in secret study,
okay,
only resting.
Stop there. Okay. Tripod seated at night,
secret study.
Obviously, this is some spy game stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Spies, right?
Tripods
looking out a window, peeking at night with their little spotting scope. 100%. Everyone on board?
Yep. Next line. Give it to
us. Next line. Only resting on the Aryan saddle. Only resting on
white
the Aryan
supremacist.
Oh, it's not that type of Aryan.
You know who the Aryan is? Didn't they refer to Alexander the Great as the Aryan?
No, it's not Aryan, A-R-Y-N. It's A-E-R-I-A-N.
Listen, Dan, this is obviously translated from French, right?
16th century French.
Yeah, so I'm saying, right? Give him a break here. We've got to read between the lines a little bit, Dan. They're spying on white supremacists.
All right, next line.
Yeah.
Tiny flame leaving the solitude.
I mean, it's... Sorry. Aryan is... It's believed that it has the equality of bishops and priests. And it's like prayers for the dead or compulsory fast.
Unbelievable. What do they call, like...
Don't they have priest names in the KKK?
Sect.
It's a type of sect, the Aryans.
They wear priest robes.
The racist kind.
not the racist kind.
Okay, third line. Tiny flame leaving the solitude. Tiny flame leaving the solitude.
Oh, that's a tough.
Tiny flame leaving.
Tiny flame leaving the solitude. Maybe I'll put those two lines together. Tiny flame leaving the solitude, make prosper what is not vain to believe.
All right.
Next.
Number two.
Next.
Skip.
Skip.
All right. Number two.
No, let's
come back to that one.
Let's go.
We'll come back around.
Let's go. Let's do one that people think is an actual prediction because we're not going to go.
Listen, if we don't go in order, we're going to lose our place.
All right. Yeah, you got me. You're right here. Number two. The road in the hands placed in the middle.
Number two of 10,000? How many we got?
Century one, quatrain two.
Quatrain two.
All right.
The rod in the hands placed in the middle of branches with the wave he moistens and the hem and the foot.
Some guy's masturbating. Yeah, moisten and some sort of foot. He's into some foot shit.
He's into some foot shit. Yeah, there you go.
I was going the exact same path. That's hilarious.
All right. Okay. Enough aside, we could do this bit all night, but let's get into some real ones.
Yeah.
No, you got to finish this one. You got to finish it.
Let's get into some real ones, he says.
Okay. Some real ones.
Okay. Nostradamus is mostly made famous because of his predictions that seem to line up with actual historical events. at large historical events. So one of the ones that is more popular than the others is there is a prediction that people have attributed to the rise of Adolf Hitler. So there's actually two of them. And the first one goes, beasts ferocious with hunger will cross the rivers. The greater part of the battlefield will be against Hister. Into a cage of iron will the great one be drawn when the child of Germany observes nothing.
Interesting.
So for this one, people interpret it as being, okay, so beasts of ferocious hunger will cross the rivers, armies. Then you have the reference to Hister. Now, some people have said that Hister is, you know, it's either a misspelling of Hitler, because Hister looks like Hitler. You know, maybe it was a mistranslation from the original French, or he purposely misspelled the name, or how he interpreted it, how his, you know, however the divine inspiration hit him.
You got it mostly right.
To go with a different
name. Mostly right.
But it also, Hister refers to a geographical location, which is near the Danube River.
Yeah. I thought it was Latin for Danube.
I don't think so. I think back then in the 16th century, it was an actual geographical region near the Danube River. And some people have said, well,
where's the Danube River?
Danube River?
Danube.
The Danube.
Oh, Zell's the chubby one who mispronounced something.
I ain't chubby. 174 pounds lean muscle. And a little bit of a beer gut.
Yeah, a little muffin.
So the Danube River, yeah, it runs through Germany, Austria, Romania, like all the way down into the Baltic Sea. So kind of it runs through Austria. Now, some people have said that, you know, the prediction is pretty close because that river runs near the place where Hitler was born, since he was born in Austria. So,
well, the greater part of the battlefield will be against Hister.
Right. So, I mean, you'd be like, that's the world war. You know, there's more of the world against him.
Well, I guess that makes sense, because it's like, even if they're referring to Hitler by Hister, and then they're saying Danube, and it originates in Germany, and so did Hitler.
I mean, it's sure.
Right? So it could go both ways.
Well, here's the thing. My thing is, when he gets these, does he like get a vision? Is that what is like legend? Or is he just like, he just sits down, licks his little quill, and just starts writing and lets the ink flow through him? Like, I'm thinking, does he go into a trance and this is what he's trying to decipher? Like, he doesn't quite understand it either, but he knows it has some importance.
No, it's all calculated from what I understand. He uses astrology and historical facts to base his predictions.
Right. And he also said that he sought out inspiration using various forms of meditation. Said he usually focused on certain elements like fire or water. And there's also a possibility that he was writing these under the influence of some mild hallucinogens.
Oh, dude, all these guys were.
Believe this guy.
All the prophets are fucked up on something for sure.
Because here's the thing. Then if like hearing that, I can read between the lines a little bit, but it's the great thing about this is it's like these events happen and then you connect them to this work. Like, they're not helping us now. We're not looking at these and going, this is this right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is coming up this year, even though National Enquirer always says like, oh, this is the year, the end of the world. Nostradamus predicted it.
Well, there's still some maybe that we could look at, but yeah, I agree. Like, by the time they happen, we're like, oh, that's maybe what that meant.
But but looking at it, like now, like seeing someone like going to trance who's 15, I'm like, okay, like that one makes a good connection. Like, I'm like, okay, I can see why people like link the two, and that's one of his good ones.
Right.
So there's a second one that goes with that one as well, that they say also predicted the rise of Adolf Hitler. So the other one is, from the depths of the west of Europe, a young child will be born of poor people. He who by his tongue will seduce a great troop, his fame will increase towards the realm of the east.
Now that one.
Voldemort.
Avada.
Avada Kedavra.
But even that one, like, it just sounds good. Like when you're talking about in the context of Hitler and the war and everything happened, you're like, okay, like you would listen, you would fool me and Mr. Conspiracy 7 days a week with this. If you told us this on the street, we'd be like, wow, that's crazy.
Well, this one speaks more to like a leader though, because a young child will be born of poor people. I don't think Hitler was born poor, but he experienced poverty at some point in his life, I think.
Well, after World War I, with all the sanctions put on Germany, there would be poverty, I'd imagine.
He was homeless for a little bit, from what I read. He actually
wasn't born to poor people. His parents were like middle class.
Yeah, but think about what they're saying. Like everything he's describing makes for a good leader. You know what I mean? From rags to riches. It just sounds like he's describing somebody who would end up becoming a fucking powerful leader.
He who, you know what by I mean? His pretty tongue vague. Will seduce a great troop.
See, that's good. I like that because that means like he had nefarious purpose and he would trick people.
No, that means that he'd seduce them. He'd bring them over to his side like any good leader would be. Like, you got to be somewhat charismatic and fucking win people over for them.
Yeah, but the word seduce to me has some like, has darker undertones than just... Like he incurred, like seduce. It gives me that. Yeah. Well, come on.
Seduce. He tricked the people.
You don't know. Well, you don't know what went on in the Reichstag. You don't know what happened in there.
You like the way I'm dancing for you? You want it?
Bring back Jack. Bring back Jack. You see that?
Jack has never gone anywhere. He's always here with us.
Look, you like Dan, you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious!
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Now, as far as Hitler goes, you could say Hitler because he did seduce a great troop, blah blah blah. But couldn't you say that about a bunch of fucking like dictators that risen up over history since the 1500s?
Who, like, that's what I'm like, what I don't get. That's what makes a good leader. Like, you know what I mean? You're not gonna be able to cause a great fucking group of people to rise up and fight a war for you if you're not charismatic and you can't win them over.
That's what I mean. It's a very generic prediction. Could use that to any.
As is, like, I unfortunately, spoiler, you could probably use that description for all his fucking prophecies, but we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but like, especially this one, like, that's just like archetype of like a rags to riches dictator kind of guy.
Totally. It's fucking perfectly stereotypical for somebody that rose up from rags to riches and won over a group of people. And
well, how could you connect the last lines of "into a cage of iron will the great one be drawn, when the child of Germany observes nothing. Is this like talking about USA being drawn into the war and then like the people of Germany like not realizing what's happening in their own country?
I don't know, man. Put on your cloak and tell us.
Get your wand out. There you go.
What I just said. I just told you. Am I more believable now?
Yeah, yes. Way more, lends way more credibility to your predictions. Yeah,
I'll just leave this on. I don't know why I keep taking it off. But like, is that like, that's when I read it. Cause I was like, when I'm reading these and I know like people are like, this one predicted Hitler. So I read them and I try to make the connections myself before like reading into what people say the connections are to see if I can like get there. And is that what people say with those last two lines?
Well, most people say that, not most people, but I think people who would be considered scholars usually say that his predictions are more like post-dictions, that people take these things and then they put them into context as opposed to like taking them out of context. It's just like, okay, well, this one sounds like this, because you could take a lot of these and kind of apply them anywhere. You could apply them to a lot of famous events in history. I know the one they have, at least there's the one about the assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, which some of the Nostradamus believers say. There's the one that says, so the prophecy goes, the great man will be struck down in the day by a thunderbolt, an evil deed foretold by the bearer of a petition. According to the prediction, another one falls at nighttime. Conflict at Reims, London, and a pestilence in Tuscany.
What?
Tuscany.
Oh, shit.
So the first one, the first line is like, a great man will be struck down the day by a thunderbolt. So, you know, people say that, well, the thunderbolt is a gunshot. He was shot at the daytime. It
should have been thunderbolts. Multiple bolts.
Right. The evil deed was foretold by the bearer of a petition, and some people reason that to be the number of death threats that John F. Kennedy had received because of some of the things he was doing, some of the stuff his administration was doing. And then it says the third line is, according to the prediction, another falls at nighttime. They argue that, that would be Bobby Kennedy. Yeah, his brother. You know, so he was assassinated at just after midnight on June 5th of 1968. So the conflict at Reims, London, and a pestilence in Tuscany. Nothing. Like there's
nothing. Yeah. What's that?
There's nothing really that. But this prophecy right here, I could argue that this mean that this could apply better to the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand as opposed to John F. Kennedy.
Right.
So great man was, he was struck down by a thunderbolt. He was also shot. Evil deed was foretold by the bearer of petitions. There was a lot of, you know, tension between Serbia and Austria at the time. There's a lot of stuff going back and forth and things coming from, you know, certain separatist groups inside Serbia at the time. According to the prediction, another war falls at night time. That could have been anybody who got assassinated, really.
But like the thunderbolt thing, that makes sense to me, because if you, in context, say if you're having this hallucinated, like you're hallucinating on, tripping on whatever, and you see this, you would have no reference of what the, like if all you're seeing is back and to the left and you hear the gunshot, you would have no frame of reference of what a gun would be. So like, to me, I'm like, that's a good description of the time of like what that would sound like.
Yeah. I mean, but like when they're describing like a great man and then they're somewhat describing threats, it's like, show me, let's pull up any great man right now on Twitter and look at his fucking DMs, and they're going to be filled with fucking death threats.
I guess so. Yeah.
Like it's,
I guess the way to really hook, line, sinker this one, if like the last line was, for a supper, you're a wanna party platter, then I would have probably bought in 100% to the JFK.
I wonder if one, like, Tuscany's touching on the mafia connections as far as his,
a pestilence in Tuscany.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Conflict at Reims, London, pestilence in Tuscany. I would still say that those things, pestilence in Tuscany, could have been any of the diseases, could have been talking about the flu or any outbreaks of those diseases during World War One, pre-World War One, 1914, 1918. Could have been any one of those. I would have, that's why I think this one more, it would be more suited to that event. If you were going to say that, I think you'd have a better, it would be an easier time to argue that one. I think, one of the other ones that they said applies, is the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So they took this quatrain out and they say near the gates and within two cities, there will be scourges, the like of which was never seen. Famine within plague, people put out by steel, crying to the general immortal god for relief.
Okay, so what's linking it to the atomic bomb?
I mean, I don't know, this is how they argue this one. They say that this has to do with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, just the fact that it says two cities and a scourge, the like which is never seen. So they assume
that
the
scourge is a pirate. You know what I mean? Like, ye never seen a scourge like me.
Well, I mean, like, it's not a bomb. Can refer to a fire. It can refer to disease, you know. So yeah, it's kind of a general term.
It can also refer to Vigo, the scourge of Carpathia.
Also, right. Vigo.
Yeah,
he's
Vigo. Let me link this one, okay? In my nostril, but this is how I would link this.
You better roll those eyes back and give us the voice.
I can't read
Paul
my
Bear
notes.
Voice. It's the Paul Bear voice.
Today's
Listen, Dan, have you ever seen a picture? Braden was the minister, whatever the fuck you call him, at our buddy's wedding. And this is back when Braden had a knee injury and he was a little bit chubbier than normal.
Oh, chunky.
And he was the fucking spinning image of Paul Bear. It is the most amazing thing in the world. You need to, do you have a picture of that? Because it needs to be posted.
I'm sure I could find one. It'd be on a hard drive somewhere.
As soon as I ran into him that day, I was like, you need to use your Paul Bear voice and say, I'm not a wrestler. You need to say it right now.
Did you know how you're like nervous about like marrying your friends? So you're getting ready and you walk up to a group of your friends and you're in your suit, you're like minister of it, and your one friend goes, buddy, you look like Paul Bear. You know how what that did to me in that day? Everyone laughed at me. And then I had to go marry people.
It was so spot on, though, was it not?
I've never felt more uncomfortable up there. I was like, on this day, I pronounce you. Okay, so this is how I would read into the Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So we got the two cities, right? That's making the connection. And again, my brain's going to someone hallucinating on drugs who doesn't have context. The scourges are the two bombs. And to me, at first, I was looking at the famine within plague, and I was like, well, how would that? But I was like, if you get flashes of people with, like, radiation poisoning and their skin bubbling and stuff, like, that's what you'd be like, holy shit, it causes some plague. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't understand the radiation burns. People put out by steel because you'd see the planes coming. I don't know. And then the last line, crying to the great immortal god for relief, just makes sense of all this, like, destruction, like people yelling, oh god, or whatever, Dios mio. I don't know what they yell over there, but that would be my I don't know. You don't think one person spoke Spanish at that time over there?
You know, I don't know.
You're telling me for a fact that not one person in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the aftermath,
I wasn't
not
there,
go
so
Dios
I can't.
Mio.
I can't say for 100% certainty that there wasn't a Spanish-speaking Japanese person in the city of Hiroshima or Nagasaki when they dropped the atomic bombs.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying you're saying that in like the 3 months post, no one uttered the words "Dios mio."
It's not impossible, but it's improbable.
Interesting.
Or improbable, but not impossible.
But that's how I would kind of like, again, I'm making the connections after, but I'm trying to think in my head, like, could I make those connections if I didn't have the context of like not knowing what these weapons are? Like we're privileged in the sense that we can be like, that's a nuclear missile. But if you had never seen that and you'd have no idea, like we know that's radiation poisoning and that's like radiation, like burns the skin like that. Like we know that stuff. But if you were just seeing flashes of that in 1500, you'd be like, that's a fucking plague. Some sort of plague like we've never seen.
If this prophecy had given us more, not even had been more specific geographically, it would have made more sense. Like it would, I would be able to buy into it more if there was a little bit more, you know, there's a little bit more clarity as to what they're talking about, or like what cities they're talking about. Whether it was something like in the two cities in the east or in the island on an island in the east, like if it says something like that, I'd be like, oh, okay, maybe we're onto something. But it just like it's real vague. It could be any two cities. It could have been it scourge that the likes of would never have been seen. Could have been a plague. Like it could have been two cities with the Spanish flu. Could have been any one of those. Really, it's just people put out by steel.
See, that's a tough one to me. I would say like if you got a flash imagine of the bombers and the sun hitting them, you'd be like steel bird. But you would say like steel bird, birds of steel. I want to know what he sees. Like, does he just see the flash of the metal on the side? Like maybe that's what he sees. Like, I don't know.
Like, I don't understand why he can't tell us what he saw.
The whole reasoning behind him making these, or his explanation when he wrote these down, was that he didn't want to be perceived by the church as a witch. Like he didn't want to be prosecuted. He didn't want persecuted. He didn't want to be his family to get persecuted, pulled into it. That's why he wrote these, to make these really subjectively vague, and also he used tons of metaphor and anagrams and things like that. That was how some people have explained his reasoning for doing this, because, you know, church was the big dog back then. And, you know, for any reason they could label you a witch and then, you know, you're on the rack. Whatever.
I mean, if he said like scourge falling from the sky, you know what I mean? Something.
But we don't know what here's the thing. We don't know what he sees. We don't know what he sees, right? Because maybe he just gets flashes. Maybe when he's in his trance, he just sees like some sort of metropolis, like a city, and then a flash of a city. And then like the mushroom god like exploding everything.
As far as like I need to know what he's taking, because all I'm picturing is he's seeing everything like the fucking yellow submarine. He's that fucked up on hallucinogens. You know what I mean? Like everything's just a giant cartoon.
Yeah. Is Zell still here?
I haven't gone anywhere, boys. I haven't been anywhere.
Oh.
That's been really
cool. It's because we can't see your camera on Skype. So all of a sudden I'd be like, I haven't heard Zell in quite a while. But like how would you explain it? If you had no reference for this and you're in 15 feet, you know, how the fuck are you going to explain this write this down to describe? We're saying, oh, well, you would say bombs fell from the sky, but we don't know that he saw bombs falling from the sky. Like he might just get flashes. We don't know. That's the hard thing about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we have any prophets or channels or people who think they can see what's that called where you put your mind somewhere else?
Remote viewing.
Astral
projection.
Do you see flashes? Can you see the play out? That's what I want to know. How do these visions come?
Are you asking the people in chat? Or are you like...
Just anyone who listens. Let us know. I'm curious. I'm sure we have a couple channels.
Like right now.
No. I'm just asking the people who listen. Because if you're a channel or a medium, like how do your visions... Is it just a movie in your head or do you see flashes? I'm just trying to put my head in... When I star in the biopic for Nostradamus that we're going to kickstart, if I need to get into his in
the
head.
No, we're going to use the proceeds from the Braden Bruce Springsteen calendar to fund our biopic of Nostradamus.
Yeah, with Bigfoot.
Okay, so you're telling me you're not a prophet. So why are you wearing that robe? You're faking it, man. You're a pretender.
I'm a method actor. And once I get into the role, that's it. I live it.
For how long?
Until the movie's over.
Until the movie's over?
Nope. Until
you know
the DVD
how annoying
commentary's
I would be
done.
On the set? Yeah. You know how annoying I would be on the set walking around going, birds of whirly, swirl the skies. A great conference, a meeting of minds. You guys would be like, all right, fucking Jesus Christ. All day, that's what I'd do. But anyways... What's another one of his...
There's another one that they say people have attributed to the Challenger disaster. So it goes like this. From the human flock, 9 will be sent away, separated from judgment and council. Their fate will be sealed on departure. Kappa, Theta, Lambda, the banished dead heir.
Damn.
Was there 9 people on the Challenger?
No, there were 7.
I was about to be like, whoa, that's fucking nuts. But now I'm like, eh.
See, he's like that one, who's to say he didn't see some... See, I'm sure there's some little Cessna that took off with 7 people that's crashed and everyone died.
But we're looking for 9.
We're looking for 9. But again, we don't know what he sees. Does he?
Wasn't there 9 people on the Kobe Bryant helicopter?
Oh, shit. Zally, did you just break this? Did you just break this?
Was there 9 people on the helicopter?
Was there? I have no idea.
So what's the Kappa Theta Lambda?
I don't know. What do those stand for? Give me...
They're Greek letters. Greek letters.
Okay, for what?
So Kappa is K, Theta is...
K, Kobe!
T-H.
Dude, there was 9 people on Bryant's helicopter.
Okay, and the K is for Kobe. And I bet you, let's see if there's anybody else that have a T and an H in their name. Fucking solved.
Kappa, Theta, Lambda, and the banished dead.
Zell, could you imagine if you're the guy that just broke that?
I just broke that shit. Nostradamus, you guys had it wrong all the time. It was Bryant.
It's the fucking Zelznick code. He fucking broke it.
Nostradamus?
Yeah, he puts on his hat and then it speaks to him.
No, it's funny. I can't believe you guys didn't see me leave. I didn't realize my camera wasn't on. I was gone for like a good chunk of time. I made the face like, I gotta go when you gotta go. And I slipped away, but you guys couldn't see it. It was hilarious. And I came back in.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
You're not on the camera most of the time.
Am I on the camera now?
Yeah, we can see you now. We didn't know before.
I know, it was
so
funny.
You could
like everybody who's watching the YouTube stream knew you were gone. We didn't.
We didn't. That's so funny.
Anyways.
But did you just come up with that yourself?
I just came up right now. 9 people. And I was thinking.
No, like, did you not read that? You just thought you came.
That was a natural thought. I came right. I just came.
You knew that there were 9 people. You knew that there were 9 people on the
crash. I was hard on that Kobe Bryant story for about a week or two at the start.
Yeah.
Brayden, get rid of your robe. You don't even deserve it. You're in the presence of a real fucking prophet here.
Yeah. Zell, decipher the code, buddy.
Zalarius.
That's great.
Zalarius is here.
Okay. What was the other part of that one? Of the departure or the Challenger one?
Separated from judgment and counsel. I don't know how you put that one in there.
I don't know.
Separated from judgment and counsel.
9 will be sent away, separated from judgment and counsel. They made poor judgment.
I mean, there was a heavy fog that day. They weren't supposed to be flying.
It was poor judgment to fly that day.
So they flew anyway.
Poor judgment.
It was poor judgment. This is a good connection.
Their fate was sealed on departure. As soon as the pilot took off, he knew he was fucked. He knew right away. He's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this.
But Kobe told me, when Mamba tells you to do something, you got to do it.
Probably, really, realistically. He's like, oh, I mean, you flew there a million times, you'll be fine. You'd be like, all right, off you go.
It's Kobe.
Would the pilot have done some... No. Would the pilot have called some phonetic like code down to like air traffic control or something?
Well, no, because Dan said the first thing he said started with a K. Kappa or whatever the fuck he was saying. That's Kobe.
Yeah, but
pull up the names of the other people that died.
Other people that died.
His 13-year-old daughter was named Gianna.
Their parents, Carrie and John. Sarah Chester, Christina Mauser, pilot Aaron Zabayan, and 2 other 13-year-old girls, Alyssa and Peyton. Yeah. First, you know what? That was about as good as any other one, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, if you put that out on the internet, you'd have people being like, 100%, that's what it is.
I'm going on.
Nostradamus predicted it.
Is 8chan still available, or is that gone right now? what number chan are we on? I'm going to get on there.
16 chan now.
16 chan just keeps multiplying.
Yeah. It's like, again, if I'm like, wow, there's 9. I'm still very impressed that you read that and that popped into your head.
It's the old wizard hat there, bud.
You're You're in the presence of a real fucking prophet, man.
I'm right, my own fucking centuries.
He made a bunch of money.
I could write them now, seal them up, release them in 100 years as like, you know, make some elaborate like time capsule or like a safety deposit box release in 100 years. It'd be like the prophecies of Zalarius. Like, who's Zalarius? I just make up my own bio. Fucking no one.
Zelferatu.
Just put in the ATT bio.
You do need to have a few successful almanacs first. That's what gives you credibility.
I got work to do.
I have time to put together an almanac.
So far, forget Nostradamus. Nostradamus interpreted by Zelferatu. The great vampire lord of the 21st century. The last of the vampires.
That's what you think.
Okay, so what's another one? Let's do another one. Let's hear what the other one's about, and then I want to hear Zell's take on what he thinks he could, what comes into his head.
What one did I miss 9/11?
No, we haven't gotten to that one yet, because those ones are a little bit weird. There's stuff to talk about. There's stuff to unpack with those ones. But another one that was relatively accurate, or people have taken to be pretty accurate, is the one that they think refers to Louis Pasteur, and his discovery of the microbial decay. So the lost thing is discovered, hidden for many centuries. Pasteur Pastor, will be celebrated almost as a godlike figure. This is when the moon completes her great cycle, but by other rumors, he shall be dishonored.
Okay. Let's all go through what pops into our head for them.
The lost thing is discovered. I'm thinking some type of ancient site, pyramids, possibly. Maybe what else has been discovered? I'm going ancient site, hidden for many centuries. Pastor will be celebrated almost like a godlike figure. Egyptologist, godlike figure.
I mean, like, we already know, like, what is. Louis Pasteur is famous for creating like vaccines and shit like that. So him being like a god, he saved, I don't know how many amounts of fucking lives. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's somewhat godlike.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe this was some type of ancient medicine that he rediscovered.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the initial one. Whoever came up with Louis Pasteur, that's a better interpretation, I think, than yours, Zelferatu.
Yes.
My apologies.
I didn't read this one at all. I didn't read this one, and that's what you get.
Hey, they're you know what? They're not going to come to you if they're already right.
Hey, 18% shooting average.
Yeah.
Boom.
Right now, you got 50. You're 50%.
50%
right now.
Cool. Yeah.
You know what, though? I'm not entirely impressed, because Zelly's probably going to get tons right because he's 1,000 years old. He's been around. He's seen it all happen.
This guy lived around the corner.
So
yeah,
there was a big thing that went around right after 9/11, where people were getting, you know, they're getting the posts or internet posts or emails about how Nostradamus had apparently also predicted the attack on the World Trade Towers. One of the ones that they was going around that people were attributing to Nostradamus was, I think it was the two steel birds will fall from the sky on the metropolis. The sky will burn at 45 degrees latitude. Fire approaches from the great new city. Immediately, a huge scattered flame leaps up. Within months, rivers flow with blood. The undead will roam the earth for little time.
Oh, deep one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but like, Dan, hasn't some of this been debunked? Like, some of this shit was added.
Well, this one, there's two of them, right? So the first one that I just said, that one, most people will tell you is a fabrication. Those people who have studied Nostradamus, because it's not written in the traditional quatrain form,
right?
Which is most of his predictions. Also, they say that in the phrase where he refers to the things as two steel birds, people say that's an obvious giveaway because, well, mass production of steel wasn't invented until 1854.
Yeah.
which was 200 years after Nostradamus died. But I still kind of have, I have issue with that because I'm like, there were kind of types of steel that did exist even like in the 16th century and, you know, weapon production, things like that. I mean,
they've been hardening.
You know, if you were talking about metal, some sort of metal bird, like Braden said, like it's his frame of reference.
So according to Snopes, which is kind of like an urban legend information site. Oh, the first three lines were taken from an essay written a few years ago by a Neil Marshall.
Did you say Neil?
Andrew, we can't use anything from Snopes. Snopes is a liberal propaganda site.
And also, remember when I said his name? Remember when I said...
Uh-oh. Cloak's coming back on.
Do you remember when I said his name was Neil? Whatever his name is, Nostradamus?
What?
I didn't even know you were going to say that, Andrew.
At the start of the episode, you said Neil.
Oh, wow.
This is unbelievable. All
it's
hail.
It's fucking Braided. It's Braidedamus Springsteen.
Get your goddamn wand up. Shit. Where's your wand?
Get it. Let's see the Elder Wand.
Boom. Cast something.
Oh, shit. Roll those eyes back. Give us something there. Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Okay, so that was the one that people say
a weird Rick James feel over there. Like,
so the one with the two steel birds is a lot of people will tell you that it's not the correct translation. So the original translation is supposed to be, in the city of God there will be a great thunder, two brothers torn apart by chaos while the fortress endures. The great leader will succumb. The third big war will begin when the big city is burning.
See. Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. So here's my first thought, is that if we're going with steel birds in this, one of these isn't an accurate prediction. It's either 9/11 or Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Because if he says two steel birds here and he didn't before, like this is obvious plane. So like in his vision, he would now have a reference to be like, oh, I've seen this thing before. In my visions, it right? First it bombed, now it's blowing up these brothers, these two things that I don't know.
Right.
You'd have a frame of reference. So it's either, if you're taking these two, I always go, I'm like, well, you got to lose one of them right away. And I'm like, I like it better for 9/11.
Right. And that would totally make sense if the second one that Zell wrote wasn't a complete fabrication, is not actually attributed to Nostradamus. Like that one's actually, it's not just Snopes that says that, but everybody else, like you can look up the actual academic essay by Neil Marshall, and he wrote, and it's an actual essay about how a demonstration on how Nostradamus kind of pieced his stuff together, where you just take a lot of general vague images and then you can apply them to a wide range of events.
So wait, so both of those are contributed
to
Neil Marshall?
No, not the first. The first one nobody really knows, but most of people say it's a fabrication based on mostly the form, like how it's not written in the quatrain form. It's not in any of the predictions, right. the actual original written predictions. But the second one that you read, that one is actually taken from the essay by Neil Marshall.
Someone just copied him. Someone just copied the way he wrote.
Right.
So Nostradamus did in the city of God, there will be a great thunder.
No,
that was Neil.
That was Neil Marshall.
That was Neil.
The first one is undecided. So it's, I guess we're going to come up with.
Okay, so what's the first one again?
The two steel birds.
Two steel birds will fall from the sky on
the
Metropolis.
So that's by Nostradamus.
I got confused too.
The steel birds are not him. That's that Neil Marshall guy or whatever.
Or no. That's where we're all confused here.
Yeah.
Steel birds is not Neil.
God damn it, Nostradamus. Why couldn't you be more fucking clear?
Fuck, these two are out. No one, these are not, fuck, next.
This is what happens when you make vague predictions. Like, yeah. Nobody can figure it out.
No one can figure that shit
nobody
out.
Nobody has a singular interpretation
next.
Into any of these. So it's...
How many more do you want to do? Let's, what do we got left? Want to do
1,000? What, that's only been six. We've got like 995.
Tune in 4 hours every day.
995 more.
4 hours every day during quarantine North America, we're reading Nostradamus, the centuries, the quatrains, one at a time.
Honestly, early on, as soon as we got to number two and you're going to start reading number three, I was like, How long do we run this bit for? Do we start doing
Do we just keep
all?
Going the bit?
Do we just keep doing this bit for a full hour? And then in the show, I was like, part of my head was like, fuck it, do it. This will be like play the long game on this one. But the long game, we would have had to record for like 1,000 hours to do them all.
We'd have got to like 14 and we'd be like, that's enough.
We could have called
it. Made it to two and tapped out.
Yeah, part one of deciphering the code.
Hey, did you guys read
Zelferado?
You guys read the Near the Gates and Within Two Cities when I was gone?
Yeah,
no,
we did that Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
All right, that's the only one, other one I wanted to talk about. Actually, was there, what else did I miss?
That's pretty much it. You just missed that one.
That one, yeah.
And you came back at that,
if I remember correctly.
Napoleon.
Yeah, there's a decent one about Napoleon. Like, you rearrange the words and it spells out Napoleon's name. And
All right.
That's not on the list.
I don't like that. As soon as you're doing stuff like that, I don't like, because then I'm like, if you highlight like every other letter in sequence, you can spell out like this name in this one. And you're like, well, that's not that impressive. You're like, you're certain. If you're looking for connections like that, loose connections, you'll find them all the time.
You have to do that in every single one of his fucking predictions.
Yeah,
vague and loose. So, like, is there any way that he maybe fucking predicted the COVID-19? Is there anything out there like with that?
I'm sure if you dug deep through, you could. Well, I'm guarantee if you dug enough, you could find something that you could connect and be like,
"Oh yeah,
this is it."
There's 1,000 of them.
I'm gonna do a random one.
I was alive during the last fucking event that we've had like this, so you'd think he would predict something like this happening again.
Okay, I'm gonna read some that make a little bit of numerological sense here. I'm gonna read Century 2, 2019. Oh, this is COVID-19. This is what it is. This, here it comes. Century 2, Quatrain 19. Newcomers, place built without defense. Place occupied, then uninhabitable. Meadows, houses, fields, towns to take at pleasure. Famine, plague, war, extents of land. Arable. It said,
you go
said
like,
plague.
As soon as you go 2019 and then you go plague, you're like, all right, COVID. And then what's the other one? Like barren houses and stuff. Like you go walk on the streets, they're barren. Like, it's a wasteland out there because everyone's at home self-isolating.
Place occupied, then uninhabitable. Meadows, houses, fields, towns to take at pleasure. It's like they're all abandoned.
Yeah, they're all abandoned, so you can go and use them at your leisure. Right? Costco, Home Depot, whatever you want, grocery store, right? They're all empty.
Boom. COVID-19 predicted. He predicted it. Nostradamus. That's as good as connection as the Challenger one.
It is. Yeah. It's not bad. Like I'm saying, like that's a good reading. Did you just make that one up? Did you just randomly pull one?
Did you
have that one prepped?
He said, Andrew said do one about if he predicted COVID-19. So I did 2019, Century 2, Quatrain 19. And that's what it was.
So you didn't find someone already making that connection. You just made that connection.
Made it up right now.
God damn it!
Two for two,
you
man.
Gotta Century you gotta two, publish it.
2019.
No, he's two for three.
Two
but
for three.
That's all right. That's good.
66.6. Let's do it.
That's a good one. Let's do another one. Pull up another one, Zell. Just let your emotions flow through you and just pick one that feels right to you.
Here we go. Oh, okay, I'm doing it. Right. This one right here feels good. Quatrain 4. Or Century 4, Quatrain 79. Blood royal flea. Mon hurt mas. Oh my God. Algulian.
Yeah, good luck with this one.
The lands be filled by bordellus, naver, big jor, points and spurs, deep in hunger to devour acorns of the cork oak.
All right, Zolaris.
Oh, buddy, that's the pine beetle.
Oh, shit. Predicted the pine beetle, too?
Yeah, that's the pine beetle ravaging the forests.
I can see that. Devour acorns.
Where's the what?
Of the cork oak. He meant pine, but cork oak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
It doesn't matter, Dan. He did it.
No, because Bigorre is an actual place. Like, that's an actual place in France.
Yeah, but there's a lot of French people came to Canada and they mismade the same title of town in Canada.
It's a region of southwest France. It's
probably a region of northern Alberta.
Couriers du Bois. All right. They're here.
Oh.
Is it?
Listen to this.
Is it?
Dry weather has brought the worst bark beetle infestation in 2 decades in France.
Oh, we predicted it in France.
Man, where in France?
Nostradamus is king.
It just says eastern France.
This is southwest France.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, but depends where you are. It could be east. If you're west of that, it's east.
No, not if you're referring to the specific location of a country.
Yeah, but this is 1590. They didn't had shit maps back then.
No, I mean, Bajor is actually, it still exists. Like,
Dan,
that
he was looking, he had the map back then. They had the map the other way. They had it flipped over. So it was east.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that. I forgot the revolution of 1700 where everybody turned their maps right back up and started reading them the right
That's
way.
That's what the French Revolution
now,
was about.
From this point forward, the maps shall be faced this way. You had a
west
big,
is
you don't
east,
remember the big.
And east is west, south is
and
north,
south
and
is
north,
north
is south.
And north is south. Huzzah!
Welcome to the new era of enlightenment.
Don't you remember the huge war? Based on like everyone was didn't want the heretics who read it like north south and the ones who read it south north and east west, like craziness
crazy
back
times.
In the 1670s, 100-year war to settle that.
Yep, just to settle that little thing.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Nostradamus predicted it.
All right, let's get into some space news. We've got a couple good space news today. First off, we've got the Strato launch announces hypersonic vehicle plans.
Yeah, it's dope.
So the company funded by billionaire Paul Allen says they're developing reusable hypersonic vehicle design to be launched from the company's giant aircraft. Powered by a liquid propellant rocket engine, will launch the company's aircraft to fly to speeds of Mach 5 to Mach 7 before gliding back to a runway landing. At what point do you just turn into liquid at the back of the seat? Right? Like, can I fly in this? Like, can a person?
It's nuts. Looks fucking
what's
cool.
Like, at what point do you just die? At what Mach are you just dead?
That's a good question. Medical expert, when do your insides liquefy from pressure, from speed?
Going so fast? Yeah.
Best guess. What do you got?
Mach speed that a human can withstand.
Even when your lungs would collapse. Because that's quite popular within fucking flight simulations.
Lungs collapse because they can't take the pressure.
Yeah.
Lungs stick together. You're fucked. That's first.
Yeah, a lot of guys get tension pneumothoraxes.
They're saying most people can withstand up to 4 to 6 Gs. Fighter pilots can manage up to 9 Gs for like a second or two.
Jesus.
Because of how they change direction if they're doing that stuff. But
and they have pressure,
I think they
pressure
said about
suits and shit.
Six
though.
Gs would be fatal.
So no one's riding this thing. You're dead.
Mach 5 to 7.
You're in the danger zone, baby. At those speeds.
No, but Mach 5 and Mach 7 is speed, where G-force is the pressure.
G is like your acceleration, I would assume.
No, but like, G, you could be going like, because in the airplane, like you're going like, a 1,000 kilometers an hour, but you don't feel anything. But if that airplane was to turn real fast, that would be the G-force. Yeah,
acceleration. Like you don't, you're only able to be able to experience like that 6 Gs because like, For Air Force pilots or whatever, jet fighter pilots, like they can experience those Gs because of like the sudden turns and acceleration that they experience when they're taking off or, doing maneuvers in the air.
You're telling me with a slow acceleration, your body can handle Mach 7 no problem.
I wouldn't see why not. If you had the perfect aerodynamic aircraft, like you wouldn't even feel it on the inside if you slowly accelerated to that speed.
Yeah. You'd be able to withstand, you know, you could travel near the speed of light long as you weren't accelerating over, you know,
I guess so, yeah.
6 G's.
But if you're going Mach 7 and then for whatever reason you hit a patch of bad air and then it shot you up and then you experience 10 G's, your head just pops off.
Pop. That's scientifically
accurate.
With your spine, it's just your spinal cord.
It makes a sound.
Like it just comes off.
Yeah, your spine, your whole nervous system just comes out. Like your whole head, your spinal cord, everything goes.
But if you put it on ice, you can reattach it within an hour or two.
If you got a good surgeon.
That's news to me. That's good.
keep up with your medical journals, Andrew.
Yeah, apparently.
This came out today that Mars could have at least two ancient reservoirs of water deep underground.
Cool.
It definitely could.
Liquid built them.
Liquid water? That's what they're saying. Or ice.
That's what they're saying. Hmm. Reservoirs of water. Oh, it doesn't say.
What do they have that makes them think that?
I guess some of the, like what they're seeing on the rocks.
No, guys, I got
it. Is evidence of like.
I got it. It's Century 6. Quatrain 12.
Let's hear it.
Let's go.
Century 6, Quatrain 12. To raise forces to ascend to the Empire and the Vatican, the royal blood will hold fast. Flemings, English, Spain, with a spire against Italy and France, will he contend? Maybe not. Wrong.
Batting average is dropping, pal.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop taking shots.
We got SpaceX wins NASA commercial cargo contract for Lunar Gateway.
Dope.
That sounds cool. The Lunar Gateway is gonna be like it's gonna be like a 7-Eleven halfway between, right?
I can't remember what the type of orbit it is, but it's gonna be stuck between the Earth and the Moon.
Yeah. I wonder what the first duty free shops are gonna be on there.
Alcohol, 100%.
Oh, booze for sure.
Space alcohol. Space booze.
Space edibles.
Yeah.
Get mushrooms. Imagine doing mushrooms in space on a spaceship.
Nope. Ooh,
that would be fucking crazy. I've never thought about that before in my whole life till right now. How crazy that would be.
Oh, it'd be a wild experience. You would have the craziest trip of all fucking time. I don't know if you'd be in sheer panic mode or like wonderment. You'd probably have a mix of all of them. You'd have probably one hell of a trip.
You know what? There's not too many like emotions that humans haven't experienced, but that would be one. People have been to space. People have looked down on the Earth, the overview effect, but no one, as far as I know, has anyone even been drunk in space? Can you get drunk on the ISS?
I think so.
They have a little couple shots.
They're
trying
to figure it out. I know at least one company had. I read an article a while ago that they're making space beer. Like they're making a type of beer. I think the challenge
space
they said
brews!
Was keeping.
We talked about that.
That's dope.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it. But I think the challenge is like keeping it carbonated. I think was the whole thing about.
You
it.
Just have to have flat fucking.
I mean, you could take liquor up there. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can't tell me that the days of the space race and you had Russian cosmonauts up in orbit weren't
chugging
vodka.
Vodka, 100%. Without a doubt. That's all I had for space news. You guys have any?
It's not news in space, but you know, it's been a lot of negative news lately, so we're going to go with this. Virgin Orbit designs mass-producible ventilator for possible coronavirus patients. Because that's like the whole big thing right now, right? Non-life high-end ventilators when people get sick and they can't breathe. So instead, because they can't not doing a lot with space right now, so they have put all their best minds onto coming up with like a ventilator. It's like only $200, and once it's approved by the FDA, which should be early April, they can just like they said they can mass produce these. So it wouldn't be good enough for all patients, but I guess for patients who, you know, they're critical, they're in the hospital, but they're not like in intensive care or anything. Kind of like a backup. So good. Some positive news on that whole front.
It wasn't Elon Musk doing that too. Like I've heard he dropped off like 1,000 ventilators.
Possible.
Yeah, they built a bunch. I think they managed to manufacture about 1,000 or 1,600, somewhere in that range.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So people are
cool thing that's coming out with this is how everybody's banding together. Like you see like Bauer that usually makes like hockey skates and sticks and shit like that. They're making face shields for first responders.
Yeah.
And hospital staffs. Yeah, like it's fucking awesome. I'm waiting for
making
mine.
Some sick slick buckets for.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I wonder, I'm going to call up Jofa. See if Jofa can make me a fucking sweet.
Old Jofa bucket.
Listen, I've got a Jofa bucket. I will make you one. I'll go to the hardware store, get some plexiglass, and then you can just have the white Yermer Yager Jofa with a little.
I already got I got some fucking. Have you ever seen those Pit Viper the glasses before?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They've started making fucking like safety glasses, so I just bought a pair. They're pretty sweet.
Well, that's what they work, dude. The Pit Viper, like that style, they used to have when I worked construction those plastic frame, and you could detach and snap your own lenses on. That looked exactly like the Pit Viper, but they were just safety glasses, and you had tinted ones for outside, and then you snap them off and put clear ones on, and you could get all different fluorescent colors for the top. Like, that's all they are, is like old school work safety glasses.
And now they're just about $100 more. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
No, they did a solid though. They tossed you a pretty good discount, so I grabbed a pair.
All right, that's anything else?
No more space news. Space news over.
Let's fire up some diesel in that randomatron and see if she's working.
Dude, I got it oiled up, ready to go. Here we go. It actually prints and faxes and scans and emails all at the same time.
Awesome.
That's good. Sends, it's like you were one of the initial investors in Woof.
Yeah.
What movie is that from?
That's from The Office.
Office, yeah.
Oh, man, that's fucking hilarious. Oh, that's good.
Zell has the last working copy. All right. This one comes to us from, again, if you send us a story, send it to alientheorists@gmail.com. We love them. But please, before you say, hey, thank you, you're welcome, here's my story, say, use my name or don't use my name, first and foremost. This one doesn't say it. I'm going to read the story and hopefully not say your name because I don't know if you wanted me to or not. Okay. Anyways, I won't keep y'all much longer. Here's a story I think you might enjoy. I don't quite know what to make of it yet, although it's been a few years, so I thought you guys might have some good insight. I should start my story out by saying that I've always been an alien person and have never been a ghost person. It's not that I don't believe in them. It's just never gave them much thought or considerations. Aliens are undeniable. Ghost, spirits, shadow people, auroras? Auras? No, not auroras, sorry. Auras? I have my doubts. With that being said, as a young child, I would always sleep with my door cracked and the hallway light on. Throughout my childhood, I remember seeing the silhouette of a man in a fedora and a trench coat standing outside my door. The best way I can explain it is to imagine the shadow silhouette of an old detective movie. For whatever reason, I was never afraid of him, and something in me knew to perceive him as a benevolent, non-threatening force. I would wake up briefly in the middle of the night, spot him through the crack, and peacefully head back to sleep. In retrospect, I have no idea why I passed this off as such a normal childhood experience and never told anyone, but my childhood issues are another story for another time, lol. I've never really thought about him again as I got older. In the fall of 2017, I was living in Shanghai, China. For my Thanksgiving break, I traveled to Xi'an with a fellow American friend. This person is the type of person who can definitely be described as spooky. Not in a Mulder type way, but in a witchy way. Ooh, witchy woman! She reads tarot, interprets dreams, and is a heavy believer in ghosts and spirits, simply because she will nonchalantly tell you that there are various spirits who follow her around different places during different times of her life. Regardless of how crazy she may sound, I've known her for many years and can assure you she is a credible, and if anyone were to be stalked by ghosts, it'd be her. We arrived in Xi'an late in the evening and went straight to bed. Our hotel was a Sheraton and therefore was very new and modern, nothing spooky. We immediately passed out from a long day of traveling. Back then, I was suffering from terrible insomnia, for which I took heavy sleeping pills. I woke in the middle of the night, and as I opened my eyes, I saw my friend and I were facing one another in our separate beds. Her eyes were also open, but she was just looking past me. I don't know how else to describe this, but I just knew she wasn't looking at me. She had a blank expression on her face, half asleep. I stared at her for 30 seconds or so, waiting for her to say something. "Hello?" she said in a calm but annoyed tone. Again, I knew she wasn't talking to me. "Who are you talking to?" I asked. This made her snap out of it and look at me. She kind of mumbled, "Nothing, sorry," before rolling over and going back to sleep. I didn't think anything of it at the time. In the morning, I said to her, "Dude, we must have been so tired last night. Do you remember waking up?" What she said next sent absolute chills down my spine and continues to do so as I type this. "It was so strange," she began. "I kept waking up and seeing this tall, dark man in a fedora and trench coat, standing over your bed just watching you. My heart sank and I had never told anyone about what I saw as a child. She told me not to worry, though. She said that he had a peaceful and benevolent feeling about him and assured me that he was just another one of those strange spirits she would see from time to time.
When
I told her about the hat man I used to see as a kid, she couldn't believe it. We described him the exact same way, even agreeing about the feeling he gave off. After this encounter, I could not stop thinking about what I had seen as a kid and what my friend had seen. I Googled hat man, half expecting to see awkward stock photos of white dudes in fedoras. But I found out that people all over the world have been seeing him for centuries. The description is basically the same, except every account that I've read describes him as being a shadow person of sorts who emits the most terrifying, dangerous, evil feeling. Why do I remember him as opposite? I have no explanation for this and no theories. It didn't make me suddenly believe in ghosts or shadow people or spirits. If I had to choose, I would much prefer for him to be an extraterrestrial being in a creepy party city disguise. But I really don't know what to make of this. What do you guys think? Have any thoughts? Maybe this story is completely stupid and a coincidence, but I'm going crazy thinking about it and would love to hear your input. Sending my apologies for the novel. Hope it wasn't too painful to get through.
Oh my God. Big hug.
Fan.
That was fucking terrifying.
Terrifying. Hat man.
I'll never sleep again.
So I didn't prove, like, because it just got sent to me in the fax and email and text message.
All the same time.
I just read it. And as soon as I started reading about the hat man, I was like, have I not talked about on the show that I've seen like that kind of a weird guy like that?
Shadow person.
Whenever we've done mushrooms.
Well, one time
when we did mushrooms back in the day.
Oh, you did. Yeah, you did tell me that actually.
Right? Yep. So right away, I was reading this, I'm going, is this person pranking me? And like, is she writing this knowing that I've talked about this before on the pod? Because like I've seen this, but I was, again, mind you, this is back when I did mushrooms and stuff, and I have this feeling of like laying in the grass, we're chilling, and just seeing this guy like in like I remember it as like a suit and like a business hat, and just walking, yeah, just walking weird. Like, well, that's business what I thought. Hat. I thought it was
fuck
like
is a business hat.
It's like a fedora. I didn't have the word for fedora. I'm pretty sure I said business hat.
All I'm picturing here is what you guys are describing is fucking Lou Bega from Mambo Number 5 staring.
Exactly. That's exactly. Hey, we should do a whole, I want to do a case file called Lou Bega and talk about how his first album is just Mambo Number 5. Every song is Mambo Number 5 with different lyrics.
There you go.
The guy made millions of dollars off one song. Genius. Yeah.
Zell, why don't you write a Mambo number 5?
Dude, I've been fucking trying.
Maester number 1.
No, this Hatman thing just, it gives me the heebie-jeebies too, because I've had the feeling, but I've had this feeling of like judgment, not evil, not anything, just like of just sheer judgment of just like this person just like, I'm not even going to say disapproving or approving, just
they weren't
being
mad,
judged.
Just disappointed.
No, not even that. Not even that. Not mad, not disappointed, not happy, not appealing, just like judging. Like just judging in any kind of sense. It was it's weird. And then to hear someone else kind of like describe it, and it's like a little different, but same but different kind of thing. It freaks me out.
Dan, you ever seen the Hat Man in your sleep paralysis episodes?
Nope.
He's coming for
it. Sleep paralysis is always solid sleep paralysis. It's just like I know there's nothing in the room. I'm just like freaking out. Like it's just like I know that I'm sleep paralyzed. That's it.
No shadow person sitting on your chest?
Nope. It feels like something's reaching out, but then I know I'm like, no, nobody's in the room. It's just, I'm freaking out because
You're just fighting it with your analytical mind. It's really happening, but you're just blocking it out.
You're just laying in bed.
I tell everybody every time Monica it happens, in my I just life, go, wiggle your big toe.
A little bit of Sandra in the sun. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's all I see. Is that what you hear?
In the sun.
Now, what's the lyrics to track 2 off that album?
Listen, no, the lyrics to track 2 don't matter. They're not as good, but you could just throw the lyrics out and just start singing Mambo number 5. My brother had an old car. And the Mama and Lou Bega CD was stuck that was the only CD in there. So we used to, like, on road trips or driving together, like, it was a joke that we'd like, he'd be like, turn on the radio, and we'd always turn it to Mambo number 5, and like we just blast it, windows down, always singing Mambo number 5 whenever we're driving. And we used to just listen to that Mambo number 5 on repeat. That was the that was the running joke. And then one time we just let it play. And we're sitting there, and it's like on song 2, and like it's going. And then like we both kind of look at each other. We both start laughing, and we both instantly start singing Mambo number 5, like to the like over top of the lyrics of the next song. And then same thing with the song after that. And dude, I've never laughed while singing Lou Bega harder than that.
England. Ooh. They sent us a nice little you know, happy little note talking about his how the people in England mostly remember David Icke as an ex-footballer who once claimed he was Jesus on the country's biggest TV program.
He actually claimed he was Jesus, like the
I know he went on a couple of programs. I don't know if he specifically said if he was Jesus, but I think he made some claims where you know, that were messianic in nature.
He was the coming of some type of heavenly
probably
being.
I don't know. Apparently, he said it on one of the country's biggest TV shows that he was Jesus. I don't see that was the realm of possibility, that because David Icke is a little bit you know.
He's special. Dude. He's been sent here. He's a god sent here to warn us about the reptilians. That's his whole pitch.
I always forget that he was an actual he was a footballer.
He was a pro athlete. That yeah.
Yeah, I always forget that.
I don't know. I've never really dove deep into the Ike stuff. It's hard for me.
Don't wanna.
It's hard.
Don't wanna.
You know, some people take his word as gospel.
You don't wanna go.
Music of the week. Let's do it. Music of the week. I'm giving it to an old friend. Brayden will know him. D. Lopez. Song's called Scars. He's a friend. He's to live with us for a bit. He's been rapping for years.
I will openly admit, when I first met D. Lopez, didn't get along. And then we were roommates, and our bedrooms were across from each other. And when I was not that enthused when he moved in. And then instantly I love me some deep.
No, he's a beauty.
After being roommates for a long time, I was like, oh man,
So his song, his song called Scars will play at the end.
Rapping.
He's been rapping forever, and you know what? He's getting fucking good. He's won some like national grants and stuff for his music. He's doing well.
Good for him, man.
Doing well.
I got a dope D. Lopez shirt he gave me. Wear it all the time.
Dude, he's got a great artist too, making all his tracks, his album art and stuff. Good shit. Check him out. D. Lopez, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to music, play at the end.
And then if you want to go, you want to hear more of this conversation, head to patreon.com/alientheoristtheorizing. For as little as $1, you get in our Discord. Moves up from there. You get awesome stuff. Go to our merch site, alientheoristtheorizing.live. You can buy some sweet ATT merch. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
Goddamn, I moved up the trap house just before shit hit the fan. And I don't wanna live like this anymore. This is not the plan. You spend your whole life unsatisfied, insatiable. When you don't realize that wealth comes from inside. That's why I'll never end up broke, even though I feel broken. I don't even campaign and I'm still the most voted. I don't need that dope money, rather be the most quoted. Believe, believe, believe. Some players play, some pay the way. Put in an honest day's work, and at the end of the day, I proved it to myself, plus I made it on my own. And it's weird feeling like a stranger in my home, because I'm never there, I'm making paper on the road. And I'ma be a legend without selling my soul. When I die, I wonder, yo, what will they say? The music spoke for itself, in the depths of despair. You can find yourself to situation critical. My brother in the hospital on life support, and it could have been me, in and out of court. Instead I work overtime to support my fam. But who's gonna help me when I'm in a jam? Under the devil's spell inside this clockwork. Come on dog, I'm the dog, spell backwards. You better keep your six. This life will make you throw in the towel. Gonna keep that vision 360 like the owl. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story. Scars. This is pyramid precision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. This is pyramid precision, I'm aligning with the stars. Why are we so easily distracted by the shit that do us harm? Potentially be popping these two pills up in my palm. And I fucking love you haters, you're the ones that put me on. This is the wake up call. So hitting the alarm, you can't sleep on me cause I'm already gone. Yeah, they call me DL, and I hope that y'all are drawn. Because I've been committed for so long. I get convicted, didn't quit it cause the money long. Stuck inside a system, but I never play the victim. Yo, I ride for my people, I would die for my people. Never lie to my people, I thought I was gonna die young. Now what's the outcome? Cause I'm further along than I ever thought I'd be. But now we're close to where I wanna be. Far from perfect, but for certain, yo, you know I'm worth it. Look for me and you will find mastermind behind the crime. It'll last the test of time. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. This is pyramid precision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision, I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story, this the story of my scars. This is pyramid precision, I'm aligning with the stars. This is the life I've chosen and I've risen above. People asking, yo, where is the love? I didn't glide through life, I fucking grind through life. And even if it takes a few times, there's no challenge I can't conquer. Through adversity I grow stronger. Yo, the grass isn't always greener, so don't squander what you have. Enjoy it while you have it, cause it doesn't always last. Embrace change and learn to let go, cause what goes up must come down. What goes around comes around. See the world in a grain of sand, and heaven in a flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand, and eternity in an hour. Yeah, this is the true North Star. Learning from my scars, mistakes that I've made that have brought me this far. To face this life sentence behind these bars, behind these bars. Yo,
every scar tells a story. This the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision. I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story. This the story of my scars. This is pyramid precision. I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story. This the story of my scars. Yo, I seen it in my vision. I'm aligning with the stars. Every scar tells a story. This the story of my scars. This is pyramid precision. I'm aligning with the stars.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.